What Jesus Demands from the World, John Piper, Crossway, 2006, 395 pages. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance by Kirsten Burkett. About the author. John Stephen Piper, born January 11, 1946, is a Reformed theologian, pastor, and chancellor of Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Piper taught biblical studies at Bethel University for 6 years, 1974 to 1980, before serving as pastor for preaching and vision of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis for 33 years, 1980 to 2013. He is the founder and senior teacher of DesiringGod.org, named for his book, Desiring God, Meditations of a Christian Hedonist, 1986. General summary. Brief chapters on Jesus' commands, direct and implied, in the Gospels. Suggestions for how to read this book. Most of the chapters do not depend on others, so the book need not be read from start to finish. Most important is to pray as you read. Introduction. The aim of the book. The aim is God glorifying obedience to Jesus, fulfilling Jesus' final command to teach all to observe his commandments, connecting their meaning and motivation with the person and work of Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah, Son of Man, as predicted by Daniel, who brought the kingdom of God. He came to serve, die for sins, and rise again. His commands are not arbitrary, but the fruit of his work and display of his glory. They are both demanding and joyful. A word to biblical scholars and those who wonder what they are doing. The quests for the historical Jesus have not been fruitful. This book is based on the texts of the Gospels, which present the most radical Jesus. Demand number one, you must be born again. Being born again was promised in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36:25-37. We need to be reborn of spirit because the mere flesh are spiritually dead. We need new life, not moral improvement. Demand number two, repent. Repentance is an internal change of mind and heart, which leads to fruits of new behavior. All people are in need of repentance urgently, lest they perish. Demand number three, come to me. When we are born anew, Jesus becomes our treasure, so his demand to come to him is not burdensome. The way is hard, Matthew 7:14. Not because Jesus is a hard taskmaster, but because the world is a hard place to enjoy Jesus in. Jesus himself, however, is soul-satisfied and life-giver. It is a tragedy when those dead and enslaved to sin do not come. Those he calls praise him. Demand number four, believe in me. We must trust Jesus because we are under God's wrath, but he sent Jesus to rescue us from it. He fulfills Isaiah 53. We must believe the truth about him and trust him and enjoy life in him. Demand number five, love me. Jesus commands emotions, rejoicing, fearing, feeling shame. Love for him is more, but not less than deep affection. It requires a new heart and is inspired by his love for us. It produces the fruit of obedience. Demand number six, listen to me. No one ever spoke like Jesus. He speaks the very words of God. He silences supernatural powers. He has the words of eternal life. His words awaken faith. Those of the truth listen to him. Whoever is of God hears the words of God from him. His sheep hear his voice. So listen. Demand number seven, abide in me. Jesus' demands are for a lifetime. We must stay with him and be sustained by him as the moment-by-moment cause of every good thing in our lives. We abide in his love, meaning continuing to believe moment-by-moment that we are loved. and in His Word by continuing to trust it. At the same time, He keeps us there. Demand number 8, take up your cross and follow me. We follow Jesus, even now. He is not physically here, by joining Him in His task of gathering His people. This includes sharing in His suffering, accepting it joyfully for His sake. We suffer temporarily for eternal pleasure with Him, so we accept ruptures in relationships with people, possessions, and vocation. It is costly, but worth it. Demand number 9, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God means knowing Him in Jesus, seeing God as compellingly beautiful, and overflowing into love of neighbor. It comes from the heart, the opposite of hating and despising. Every faculty and every capacity of our being should express this love, treasuring God above all else. Demand number 10, rejoice and leap for joy. We are to be mastered by joy in God. Jesus came with good news and calls us to joy, not in things, but in God and His Son. We renounce other things in self-denial so that we may have God infinitely more precious. We fight for joy, endure suffering for it. This joy is the root of holiness based on our hope for great reward. Such rejoicing glorifies Jesus. Demand number 11. Fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus describes hell as terrible. It is not simply the natural consequence of rejecting God, but also what people deserve. Therefore, we should fear the Holy Judge, and also because His wrath has been removed from us, trust Him. The only thing to fear is unbelief, and Jesus' warning is a great mercy. Demand number 12, worship God in spirit and truth. Everyone worships something, but worship should be in conformity with what is true about God, and with our spirits awakened by the Holy Spirit and moved by that truth. Jesus takes the place of the temple. Worship is now through Him and of Him, and is all of life. Demand number 13, always pray and do not lose heart. Prayer corresponds with Jesus' two great purposes, God's glory and our joy. We are to pray simply with perseverance through Jesus' death and in His name, with faith, not to gain the praise of others. We pray for ourselves and others with the model of the Lord's Prayer. Demand number 14, do not be anxious about the necessities of daily life. Jesus does not secure His kingship by cultivating anxiety, but to free us from it. Life is for greater things. God provides and knows what we need. Worry is useless and like the unbelievers. Remember this. Demand number 15. Do not be anxious about the threats of man. Speaking the truth, when it may cost you your life, is frightening, but it is a sign we belong to Jesus. Truth will triumph. Your soul will be safe. God is close and cares. We have reason not to fear. Demand number 16, humble yourself by making war on pride. Boasting and self-pity both come from pride, from ego. It is defiance against God, an attitude of self-deserving, and delight in feeling oneself to be above others. It is loveless, not understanding God's grace. Demand number 17, humble yourself in childlikeness, servanthood, and broken-hearted boldness. Humility means giving up love of power, status, self-sufficiency, rights, and control, and having trust in Jesus rather than oneself. It leads to a spirit of servanthood, like Jesus. It is modesty about the self, not about truth. Our conviction comes from submission to Jesus and asserts truth for His sake. One becomes humble not by renouncing will, but by receiving all things as a gift and glorifying God. Demand number 18, do not be angry, trust God's providence. Sinful anger is to be mastered not by self-control, but by transformation of heart. Anger must be governed by love and proportionate. We should always remember God's providential care as he governs what happens to us. We even rejoice when unjustly persecuted, remembering our reward. Demand number 19, do not be angry. Embrace mercy and forgiveness. Living in constant awareness of our sinfulness and forgiveness will break the power of the unrighteous anger. We can only forgive unfailingly if we live in overwhelmingly amazed awareness of God's grace. We avoid judgmentalism by having a broken heart. A spirit of submission transforms anger. It requires Jesus' salvation. Demand number 20, do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Be justified by trusting Jesus. What the rich young ruler lacked was Jesus, not law-keeping. External commandments alone are not enough. Our only hope is Jesus, life and death. Our own righteousness is never enough. Demand number 21. Do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Be transformed by trusting Jesus. Grace does not deny the necessity of obedience. Jesus transforms us so we can move toward perfection. Connected to him, we bear fruit. We obey the Old Testament law, filtered through the sieve of all the changes brought by Jesus, its goal and fulfillment. He nullified the ceremonial laws, summed up the whole law as love, and redefined the people of God away from ethnicity of physical Israel to those with faith in him. So commands woven together with the theocratic civic government of Israel no longer apply. The will of the Father that Jesus commands us to do is in union with him. Demand number 22, strive to enter through the narrow door, for all of life is war. Entering the kingdom is a battle. Our greatest threat is our sin every day. We are to have serious personal vigilance against the dangers of pleasure and pain, praise and indulgence, and especially money. We are to see our real treasure truly. Demand number 23. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for Jesus fulfills the new covenant. There are false prophets and false Christs, and the times are urgent. We must be on guard and persevere, not giving way to nostalgia for worldliness. Our striving is not a burden, for Jesus is with us. He has fulfilled the covenant, and so enables us to enter that narrow door. Demand number 24. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for you are already in the kingdom's power. The kingdom is present as well as future. So we strive in the power of the kingdom. The fact of eternal life is not expressed in presumption, but joy. The fight is to cherish what we have, not earn what we don't. We will not be perfect yet, but we have Jesus' help and prayers, in assurance of the end. Demand number 25, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, for it was hypocritical and ugly. The Pharisees loved praise, money, and sex instead of God. They were hypocrites without righteousness of heart. Demand number 26, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Clean the inside of the cup. The Pharisees were spiritually blind and mercilessly demanding, with hard hearts, putting religious effort only into the outside. Exceeding their righteousness is easy, but also hard, for we cannot change our own hearts. It requires lack of anger and lust, faithfulness, honesty, contentment, and love of enemies. This requires dramatic change. Demand number 27. Your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, for every healthy tree bears good fruit. Purity of the heart is to trust and love God. God demands it and gives it when he gives new birth. We must receive it and fight for it. Sin is deadly. The stakes are huge. We must live as demonstrating our state of being in God's favor. Demand number 28. Love your enemies. Lead them to the truth. There are people who are hard to love in different ways. Some are actively against us, from persecution to snubbing, and we are to love them all. Love means preserving truth. Also, love is not defined by the response of the loved, while not oblivious to effects. Demand number 29, love your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. Love means we hate what destroys people. This hate, expressed sometimes in Psalms, quoted by Jesus, can also mean moral repugnance. We must not have hate that wills a person's destruction, but we hate the evil that leads them there. We know evil always hurts others. So we pray for blessing for others from the heart, especially the blessing of forgiveness. Demand number 30, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, give to one who asks. When Jesus demands forgiveness from the heart, the opposite is holding a grudge. It may be that you have a forgiving heart, but relationship is still not possible because the forgiven will not repent. Or it may be you repent, but someone you offended will not forgive. We must try to be reconciled, but we are only responsible for our own hearts. Loving an enemy also means greeting those outside your group, doing good to haters, giving anything, remembering that one cannot perform every act of love to everyone, and love sometimes demands not giving what someone asks, i.e. an alcoholic. Demand number 31, love your enemies to show that you are children of God. Behind Jesus' commands are the demand to be radically free from the love of money and from the need for earthly security and honor. We must want good to be done to our enemy and actually do it, even at the risk of being taken advantage of. This takes heavenly power, which comes from the knowledge that our Father will care for us by looking forward to our reward and by knowing our Father's mercy. Demand number 32, love your neighbor as yourself, for this is the law and the prophets. This commandment is overwhelming. Love like this is the visible expression of the aim of the law and the prophets, and the visible goal of the whole Word of God. That is, how to love God practically. Love is both the origin and goal of the law and prophets. Demand number 33, love your neighbor with the same commitment you have to your own well-being. The root of our sinfulness is desire for our own happiness apart from God, and apart from whether others find their eternal happiness in God. It is not wrong to desire comfort for oneself. It becomes evil when you do not long for it for your neighbor. Make your self-seeking the measure of your self-giving. We find this command threatening, but it is made possible by the first commandment to find in God a satisfaction so profound that it fills up all your heart. Demand number 34, love your neighbor as yourself and as Jesus loved us. Warning, don't narrow the meaning of neighbor. Jesus died to give us compassionate hearts. His death is both guilt-bearing and guidance-giving. Jesus lived out his own commandment. We show we are his disciples by doing the same. Demand number 35. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven by giving sacrificially and generously. Jesus says more about money than heaven and hell combined. It signals where our worship is. Money represents the greatest threat to our obedience. But the more sacrificially generous you are on earth, the greater will be your enjoyment of heaven. Demand number 36. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven and increase your joy in Jesus. Two controversial claims. A selfish spirit will keep us from heaven. And two, there are degrees of reward in heaven, depending on our sacrificial generosity. Jesus says we will not get true riches if we are not generous with money. He must overcome our selfish spirit first. The idea of varying rewards comes from Luke 6:37-38. We lay up treasures by giving. Demand number 37. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Knowing about reward does not make our giving selfish, for our aim is for others to enjoy Jesus and so increase our joy. What we give is whatever the other needs, showing our freedom from money, which enslaves by greed or fear. Giving reflects God's goodness, who gives us his kingdom. Demand number 38, do not take an oath. Cherish the truth and speak it simply. Those who mock the concept of truth are people with power, but for most of the world, truth matters. Jesus demands that we do not use verbal tricks to avoid promise keeping, and that we be so truthful that oaths are superfluous. Demand number 39, do not take an oath. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Oaths are only necessary because of lovelessness, which is unreliable. The kingdom requires unimpeachable integrity in our own words. Demand number 40, what God has joined together, let no man separate, for marriage mirrors God's covenant with us. Jesus, who fulfilled the Old Testament, saw marriage as portraying God's relationship with his people. It is meant to glorify God. Jesus made the marriage covenant unbreakable except by death. Demand number 41. What God has joined together, let no man separate. For whoever divorces and marries another commits adultery. Jesus says that both a divorcing man commits adultery if he remarries, and any man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It is hard teaching, but clear. Porneia is contextually likely not adultery, but fornication during betrothal. Demand number 42. What God has joined together, let no man separate. One man, one woman, by grace till death. Those who, for whatever reason, cannot marry are given grace. Homosexual union is not marriage, but sin. Divorce and remarriage is sin. Yet a remarriage, though entering it is sin, should be faithful and not abandoned. Demand number 43. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. God owns everything. Rendering to Caesar is an expression of rendering to God what is God's, and gives Jesus the honor of his authority. Jesus demands absolute allegiance to himself. All other allegiances warranted, limited, and shaped by this first allegiance. Demand number 44. Render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's as an act of rendering to God what is God's. We do not give to Caesar what God forbids, but we submit to Caesar to acknowledge Jesus' lordship. There are times when we submit even when not necessary, from a principle of freedom and the greater good. Other times, civil disobedience might be necessary to honor Jesus, but never the vindictiveness or mere expediency. Demand number 45. Do this in remembrance of me, for I will build my church. Jesus assumes that there will be a church worshiping him when he is gone. He promised to build it and sent the Holy Spirit to be with people, inspire scripture, and appointed apostles. Demand number 46. Do this in remembrance of me. Baptize disciples and eat the Lord's Supper. Jesus made provision for sin in the flock and what it means to be his follower. He prepared baptism in the Lord's Supper and how to celebrate them. The cup and bread represent his body and blood and spiritual feeding on him. Demand number 47, let your light shine before others that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus' first passion and what ours should be is the manifest holiness of God, his glory. God's glory is the outshining of his infinite value. Jesus displayed God's glory by accomplishing what God sent him for, thus displaying God's love. Demand number 48, let your light shine before others, the joyful sacrifice of love and suffering. We shine the light that we are to glorify God. We shine by our joy in the midst of persecution and hardship. We do good work so that others may be satisfied with the glory of God forever. We live and die joyfully as Jesus did to glorify God. Jesus in our shining lights will finally be displayed at his second coming, and we will shine eternally. Demand number 49, make disciples of all nations, for all authority belongs to Jesus. Jesus has total authority and the right to claim all allegiance. He lays that claim on people through his followers who preach his word. He is with his emissaries until the end of the age. He wants people from all nations in his kingdom. Demand number 50, make disciples of all nations, for the mission cannot fail. God began with the people of Israel, and Jesus focused on the Jews, but most rejected him. God intended his son to suffer and through this open salvation to all nations. This was the promise from the start. The blessings of Abraham are for the nations. So we make a global claim on Jesus' behalf, and success is certain as we pray, preach, and suffer for others. He is worth it. 2022, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only and except for brief quotes may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.